Welcome back to the Game Junkies podcast, the podcast which brings you all the latest gaming news, releases, and content. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm here with my co-host, Jack.
Hello.
So, it's been a pretty big week.
It has.
In terms of the gaming universe.
The gaming universe.
It's been a pretty big week for you, because I know you're an Xbox fan.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, a Halo fan.
The biggest around.
So, I mean, just summarize how, like, we're going to go into it, obviously, in more detail in a bit, but
yes.
Summarize how you felt about this week's conference.
Oh, it's a mixed. It's definitely mixed. The thing is, like, I want to go into it more when we reach that segment, but I feel like disappointment might be one of the terms, but I'm also excited as well. It's just a mixed bag.
Yeah.
But I'm not as hyped compared to the other conferences like the Ubisoft or the PlayStation 5. I feel like I was hoping it would rival those, but I didn't think it reached that standard, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously we're going to get into that in a bit.
Can't wait.
We'll just brush off a few news stories. So the first one is PlayStation 5 pre-orders could be limited to one per household. This is from IGN. On Reddit, users who dug into the source code for Sony's direct.playstation.com, the company's hardware retail website, discovered new references to the PlayStation 5 that seem to indicate that Sony will limit PlayStation 5 orders to one per household. According to user u/kgarvey, if I butchered your name, source code in PlayStation Direct website revealed an error message that could appear if customers attempt to order more than one PlayStation 5 console through the website. IGN verified the source code and can confirm its existence. The error message reads, "You can only purchase one version of the PlayStation console, digital or disc. You already have one in your basket." So what's your thoughts on that? Now that's
very strange. What a strange thing to force upon people, that you only allowed one PlayStation in a house.
I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think it's a set in stone thing. I feel like it's going to be something just because of the COVID-19, maybe.
Just in terms of sales at this moment?
I think
Is that what you think?
No, I mean in terms of stock. They want to, because obviously they can't.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
okay,
I think they want
sense.
To try and.
That would make more
stock
sense if
moment.
It was just doing this crisis, because if that was their general format, I feel like what a strange thing to force upon people.
It would make them less money. I don't see why they would do it. I mean,
they only
think maybe it's just, maybe it is just a, glitch, I guess, or something they planned prior to this. Or maybe, I think the only logical explanation for this is COVID-19.
It's to make sure the stocks don't go.
Yeah, because the stocks are going to be pretty heavy.
I mean, in all fairness, you only really need one PlayStation per house.
Well, if you want to be extra lazy and have one in the bedroom, one in the living room, one in the toilet.
Sorry, who does that?
Because, when you're playing it on the...
Maybe one person who does that. Is it you by any chance?
It's not. Brush past that.
Move along, yeah.
it makes sense because of, COVID-19. Like, stocks are going to be harder because, obviously... But I think everything's sort of, opening up a bit more now, but again, you just don't know what's going to happen.
No, maybe they won't release this restriction until everything is sorted out, and that might take, who knows? It might take another year, who knows?
Exactly.
It's all up in the air, isn't it?
So, the next story, do you want to take this one?
Yep, it's Call of Duty 2020. This comes from GameSpot. Microsoft Store listing has emerged for a new unannounced Activision shooter that may actually be tied to this year's Call of Duty. The listing calls the game The Red Door, which was seen last month in the PlayStation serial database Serial Station, according to the PC Gamer. The accompanying content ID also suggests that a Call of Duty 2020 alpha is incoming. Though Activision has not publicly addressed the matter, the game's description is also vague. There's more than one truth. If you go looking for answers, be ready to question everything and accept that nothing will ever be the same. The red door awaits. Do you dare to step through it?
Well, this is interesting, to say the least.
Interesting how.
It doesn't... Like, the whole red door thing, I can't associate that with any Call of Duty, personally. Can you? I can't think of any Call of Duty which has anything to do with Red Dawn. I don't know, the thing is with COD, they've never made a spin-off game, have they?
It's always been one Call of Duty per year. There's never been like a lesser version of it. Maybe this is the start of a spin-off.
I've heard this is meant to be Black Ops 6.
Black Ops 6?
Is it 5 or 6?
There have not been that many Black Ops.
What was the last? Black Ops 4, yeah. So Black Ops 5. I've heard it's Black Ops 5, but they're calling it something like...
Well, Call of Duty the Red Door, or Red Door Black Ops 5?
The Red Door, or I believe it was something like Call of Duty CIA or something.
Okay.
Like which is apparently, this is what I've, again, it's not true, but this is what I've sort of seen the rumours online, and it's meant to be set back in the Cold War.
That sounds interesting.
I believe.
Interesting premise.
I believe. So, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I loved Black Ops.
Well, did you play the last one?
The later one, I, you know, everyone always says they don't play Call of Duty for the campaign, but I actually kind of do.
Well, there are some exceptions, aren't there?
Yeah, and, you know, I've enjoyed the campaigns, especially the Black Ops ones and the Modern Warfare ones, but I was really disappointed that Black Ops 4 didn't, you know, do a campaign, but they wanted to focus more on
the multiplayer.
Zombies.
And zombies, and of course, yeah.
Multiplayer, yeah. So I kind of understand why they did it, but I am a little bit disappointed. So.
Yeah, the general fan base, when they buy a COD game, they expect the first thing they will do is go online, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, there are a few exceptions to the campaigns. You know, the Modern Warfare series, for example, that had an excellent campaign. You know, really good characters, really compelling story, good villains. Yeah. And I enjoyed the Black Ops 1 and Black Ops 2 for the campaign.
I can't get over Ghost's death, I'm sorry. But I can't
it's
and
been
will not
over
get over
10
it.
Years, Chris.
I don't care how long it's been, I'm never getting over that. Okay?
Well, I mean, all fair, there was a remaster, so you had to relive it again.
I did not want to. Nope, I skipped it.
Oh, you didn't actually play it?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, in terms of the description, it's very cryptic and it reveals nothing.
Oh.
Like, I think it reveals, like, nothing.
Well, I mean, there might be a couple of Easter eggs for the, you know, people with a sharp eye.
So if you had to predict, do you think it would be a Black Ops game?
It wouldn't make sense if it wasn't, if I'm honest. It depends. I mean, it could be... I mean, they're done with the Modern Warfare trilogy. They made an Advanced Warfare, but never made a sequel. They did Infinite Warfare.
Which was random again.
And then they just went back to Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
So maybe Red Dawn might be a potential, either a potential sequel to Modern Warfare, or it's a new series in the Call of Duty game genre.
What's strange about it is normally Activision, you know, normally do publicly address or announce a game or at least tease a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
They don't leave it this late, so. I imagine one will be coming soon, and again, maybe it's because of COVID-19 that things are a little bit slower.
Yeah, hopefully that is the only reason. It would make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of companies have slowed down because of this.
Yeah, normally they would have definitely revealed something by now, so it kind of makes sense. Yeah. So, the next one is Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 is in full development. This comes from GameSpot. Final Fantasy VII Remake co-director. Right, I'm going to butcher this name.
I have confidence in you, Chris.
Naoki Hamaguchi.
I mean, that sounds right. That's flawless.
That was perfect. Has confirmed that the next part in the reimagining of the PlayStation Classic has entered full development. I'm a little bit shocked because I kind of thought it was in full development.
Yeah, I thought it was as well.
But I guess not. I'm a little bit disappointed because this means it's going to... We're going to see the second part a lot later than we kind of wanted.
Well, when are you expecting it?
Well, the engine's been made now. So the whole, you know, the engine's been made for Final Fantasy Remake. So they don't have to, you know, worry about building it from the ground up. So they can just sort of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of expecting it maybe a year. I don't know if that's generous.
A year, maybe? So we have the software's there, the engine is sorted. It's just a matter of making the game.
Making the game.
A year. Yeah.
Maybe a year.
I don't have the in-depth knowledge to know how long it would take. A year's potential.
Possibly two? I don't know.
Nah, 2 years is too much.
I was kind of hoping that they would finished, like, by the time they released Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, that they already are, like, sort of halfway through or a part way through of Part 2, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
I, so there wasn't any news since the release of Part 1 about the second half being made?
They just said it's coming, but you just don't...
You just don't know.
You just don't know when.
It's all a guessing game, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that.
Well, you must be pretty hyped for it, though.
I am hyped for it, yeah. But again, I expected it. You know, I knew it was coming. I loved the first one, and I have really high hopes for Part 2.
Mm.
So, we're on to the main event now. This is the... Oh, this is the exciting bit, right?
Sure.
So, obviously, Microsoft held a conference, or their, you know, E3-styled conference to try and rival PlayStation. They held that on Thursday.
That was the 23rd
of July. Nice. And they showed off a lot of first party only games, right? So it's not,
I mean, that's a positive start. Yeah.
So the first game I want to talk about is Halo Infinite. They showed off, they went straight in there with Halo Infinite.
I was expecting it for the end.
I was expecting to finish off strong, you know, instead of starting off. So, I'm just going to talk about what they showed first, and then we'll discuss how we feel, okay? So, they had like a little sort of cinematic at the start where you're with the pilot. I'm not sure what his name is.
Well, his name in the community is Brohammer.
Brohammer. What an awesome name. I wish mine was Brohammer.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you crash land. You and, well, Chief and Brohammer.
Exactly. That's his name.
Pretty cool. And essentially, you just do a little gameplay of a semi-open world, I want to say. Of you playing as Chief, just going to destroy these turrets?
Well, they're supposedly three anti-air craft
guns
that he needs to take down, and he goes after one of them.
We see, I think it's five different weapons, or maybe six.
There were a few.
And you know, we'll get into it in a minute. We saw a couple of different weapons. We saw the enemies, the Covenant, or Banished rather.
Banished.
In this case, sorry, not the Covenant.
That's correct.
And we also get a little bit of a, you know, a go in the Warthog. We get to see what the new Warthog's like. But it was quite short for a demo. I mean, it was only 8 minutes. It was only like 6 or 7 minutes.
No,
I mean,
it wasn't.
I don't know why I was expecting.
It was shorter than I was expecting it to be.
So. What's your thoughts? Tell me your thoughts, how you feel about it.
Well, as soon as I saw the opening cinematic, the glossy cutscene before you see Chief and Brohammer of the Mark III, Master Chief's armor being created, and like that glossy cutscene, I was so hyped. It looked beautiful. And then, like, they had like a Cortana speech doing it, talking about how the armor is useless without the Master Chief in it. I was like, yeah, okay, I am ready for this to be so good. And then the first cutscene hit with Chief and Brohammer. I thought, yeah, that looked pretty good. I didn't think there were any graphical issues or anything. I quite liked the look of it.
Yeah.
There were some good lines in there, you know, good connection between the characters. I can see. I feel like there's gonna be. It's gonna be quite a bromance going on there.
Yeah,
Chief and
I like the dynamic
them. I hope so. That'd be really fun because Chief hasn't really had that kind of connection with like a Marine since probably Sergeant Johnson, and that was over 10 years ago.
Fun fact for you as well. Fun fact: the guy who voices Brohammer is the same guy that does one of the Apex Legends characters. I can't remember his name is.
Okay.
Octane. He does
so,
Octane.
Okay, so he's you know, he's familiar with the, you know, FPS kind of realm, I suppose.
So
I like the dynamic between those two. I think that would be really interesting if they build on that a bit more. That'd be quite fun.
Mm.
And then we have he exits the Pelican. Obviously the Pelican was hit by the anti-aircraft gun, so we had to do a crash land. And Chief has to find the aircraft guns to take them down.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he exits the Pelican, transforms into a first-person perspective.
This is a really step-by-step. Whoa.
I know, but I'm just like, I'm just trying to go through my thought process. I was like, okay, I was really hyped. Mm-hmm. And then hit into the first person perspective, and I was so let down.
See, this is where we have different opinions about this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, go on. What's your take?
Because I don't think it's as bad as what everyone thinks it is.
Well, like, the thing is, what I discovered recently was that this was an alpha build that was months ago, potentially January. So they showed old footage rather than showing newer footage, which I was kind of disappointed in. I was curious why they only showed old footage where everything wasn't rendered properly.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the graphics obviously weren't great for what
good, but you know, with the new engine and all the guarantees Xbox were promising, I was expecting so much more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But again, we got to take this with a pinch of salt because, you know, it's not, even if it is, because I mean, I'm guessing it'll be about 3 months until it releases, you know, officially.
Yeah.
But we still got to, you know, take it with a pinch of salt that, you know, even if it was a demo that was today's standard, sure, they've only got 3 months to finish it, but they could have, you know, they could have already finished it. They just wanted to show this demo to us and
maybe
keep the real stuff for
us.
Well,
the thing is with me, if the graphics aren't good, if the gameplay is good, then I won't care. And the thing is, I really enjoyed the gameplay. I thought the gameplay was really interesting.
They brought back
the classic kind of gameplay and with a modern twist.
Yeah. So I liked the gameplay personally. I think it looked really fun.
It did.
I liked the look of the assault rifle. I think it looks kind of like what it did in Reach.
Yeah, they chose the Halo Reach assault rifle style, yeah. And I really liked that. That was quite fun.
And when, like you said, when you went into the first person perspective, I kind of thought I dig this. I think this is, I feel like they've gone kind of back to its roots.
At the beginning I was really hyped, but it was going further into the gameplay where I was noticing all the little problems.
I mean,
that they didn't sort out yet.
Problems they haven't sorted out, or because, going back to Halo 5, I was not a fan of what they, like, the direction they went with Halo 5.
No, same here.
I felt like, as a character, you felt really heavy. So in the previous games, you feel quite light, but in this one, you felt quite, like,
it's strange because it's surely meant to feel the opposite.
Yeah. And, you know, I loved, first of all, I love Chief's armor. I think it looks amazing.
That was probably the highlight for me. I thought he looked brilliant.
And I was watching it, and besides the graphics, taking that out, I thought it was a game I would really enjoy. I'm not sure about the open world kind of aspect.
Well,
of it.
It seems more like a sandbox rather than an entire open world. So it's more like, I'm trying to think of sandbox games.
Metro Exodus.
That would be a perfect example. So you have, with Metro Exodus, you have several smaller open worlds compared to one huge open world, and it seems like that's the approach they're taking. And
I think it would work personally.
Okay. I imagine what they'll do. For an example, in the gameplay, we had an opportunity to look at the map, and Chief scrolling through like where the anti-aircraft guns are and having a look at the boundaries of the map, and there seemed like a huge wall clearly blocking off entry. And there seemed to be like, they landed on like a smaller island. And there were like, it seemed like there were walls or gaps in between each other island.
Yeah.
So what I would hope for is that maybe in that particular scenario, they fixed a pelican or something, and they're able to fly over to another area, or they find a teleporter, perhaps.
See, that would be pretty cool, but do you think it would take the character out of the story, if that makes sense? So they're too distracted by doing these little side things that they... Well, say, what's the word? Like, there's a, you know, people think of, you know, with a lot of open world games, they kind of think that you get sidetracked a lot, so you get distanced from the story.
I mean, here's my question to you. Did you feel that way when you played Last of Us?
No.
Well, there you go.
Personally, like I said, I don't think...
It depends on how they handle it.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to still be... I don't want them to just completely separate the side stuff that you got to do to the main story. I want the side stuff that you do to be relevant to the story, if that makes sense. You know, I don't want it to be just random.
The thing is, it's hard to gauge what their plan is because we've only seen only 8 minutes of gameplay.
But I personally enjoyed it in terms of, they said they're going back to how it used to be, and I think it's how it used to be, but with a modern day twist on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think, you know, you've got to change it. You're not just going
to. Yeah, you have to change the times. You know, you can't stay the same.
And I'm happy they've gone back to the old roots with the enemies in terms of the grunts and the elites. I think they look really good. They don't look as chunky and horrible like they did.
Well,
Halo
4 and 5, they made elites and all the Covenant enemies into these huge, jacked guys, basically, that all seemed really buff and heavy. And they all had like really deep voices, sound like they always had like a cold. But they look really good. I like the, they've taken back to their classic roots with the designs for the
enemies.
What about
the brutes?
Oh, the brutes.
The meme. The brute.
Well, there was, if you don't know, there's a still shot of an enemy called a brute that's been taken by storm as this huge meme in the Halo community. And his official name is Craig, by the way.
Craig?
That's the name.
Why Craig?
I don't know.
What?
So in 40 looked like a Craig, and that's the official name. And everyone everyone wants 343 Industries to take down boards and maybe have Craig as like an Easter egg somewhere within the world. I think that would be. I would really appreciate if he did that. There was a still shot of a brute basically looking really depressed,
sad, and
just like. Questioning why he's there, I suppose.
He looked well. I mean, if you're getting punched in the face by Chief, you're not exactly going to be happy.
Well, no. But the thing is, he didn't look sad either. He was thinking.
He just looked neutral, didn't he? He was like, whatever. This
such
is
a
happening.
Bland
I'm just
expression. Yeah,
it.
he accepted his fate, and, which I think everyone loved.
You know, again, we got to take into account that this is still a beta or alpha. Or whatever.
Exactly.
It is,
it's early in the process. The thing is, as long as the gameplay and the story are good. The graphics come last to me. And the thing is, they have all this time to work on the graphics and the look.
Yeah. As long as they're not overpowered pieces of shit like they were in 2, I don't mind.
Well, that might be a controversial statement because, you know, a lot of people thought Halo 2 brutes were the best in terms of gameplay. And I think the design of the brutes in Halo 2 were the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I
think it adds a bit
very
more...
annoyed when I played against them.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely adds a bit more... thought process to it because you think, oh, there's brutes here. I can't just, you know, kill them like a grunt. I got to be a bit more strategical about it.
What do you think of the weapons they added?
I like them. I think because they have, like, obviously you've got the assault rifle, then you have that carbine-looking gun.
Carbine.
Which I'm going to say is a carbine. It looks like Destiny 2 gun, doesn't it?
What, the human weapon, yeah?
Yeah.
The one with
The one with the sight. It looks like the first gun you get in Destiny.
It looks
Do you remember that?
It looks like a scout rifle you can get in Destiny. That's what
It looks like they've taken away aiming down the sight, which I think is good.
I noticed on the HUD, left trigger is either throwing a grenade or using a grappling hook.
I think
they're bringing back the clicking in on the right thumbstick to zoom in, which I think is great.
Which is amazing.
I appreciate that so much.
So, I mean, that looked pretty cool. I couldn't really see much of a difference between that and the assault rifle.
Well,
personally, honestly.
My only problem was with the design.
Right.
Like, obviously, the assault rifle looked great. Mm-hmm. And then he switched over to this kind of... I don't know. I thought it was quite generic, personally. It looked like quite a generic FPS
carbine gun.
Yeah. If I'm honest. Because the assault rifle had such a distinguished look. Like, that looks like a Halo gun. And then you pick up this weapon with like modern sights and like modern reload and that kind of thing, and it just looked generic.
It wasn't a bullet burst. Bullet burst. It wasn't a burst gun. It was a
automatic.
Yeah, so I'm just curious. Maybe it's more accurate. I don't know. It just didn't.
Well, it has
seem...
a zoom in.
Yeah, I mean, people could argue that with the SMG, I guess, back in the old Halos, but the SMG was more. You know, the recoil was like mad on it, wasn't it? Like,
yeah,
the recoil,
that's right.
You know,
it was faster. It did a touch less damage, but the recoil hits hard.
But I didn't really see much difference between that. And what do you think of the new sidearm that people are calling it? The sidearm, the pistol.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it's not a replacement for the classic Magnum because that's such a staple for the Halo series.
Yeah, the assault rifle and the Magnum are the two, you know.
If it's an extra pistol,
yeah,
that'd be fine. But if it isn't, then I'd least want them to change the design slightly.
Yeah,
because again, I feel like the thing is with me, the human weapons that they showcased were the worst design in my opinion.
Yeah.
Besides the assault rifle was the only thing I enjoyed looking at.
They just looked boring and generic. Yeah. I see what you mean. Then they showed off the name of this gun, but it's, you know, the one that looks like a pistol, but it's it's like a
Mauler?
Gun.
Mangler? Mauler? Mangler?
Wrangler maybe. It's
well like there was one called the Ravager that Chief which was like up, which is like that red like shot like red plasma.
That looked interesting.
That looked really cool. The thing I enjoyed about it reminded me of the Brute Spiker because it had like this huge spike on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he didn't show any gameplay of him like meleeing people with it. But I feel like they would get similar animations with the older games.
And I think you obviously had that and then that and then I think that was it for the guns they showed.
There was also a carbine, like a Covenant carbine, but it was a 3-round burst.
That's interesting.
I'm hoping it doesn't replace the original carbine, like the semi-automatic carbine the Covenant had. Mm. And it seemed like a mesh between the carbine and the plasma rifle.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that isn't the case, like as in they get rid of both of those weapons. Because, again, they're such staples to the franchise.
Yeah. And they showed off the Engie sword as well in a trailer.
In additional gameplay, they showed... That looked pretty cool. I heard from sources that... They're taking the design from Halo 2 Engie Swords.
Oh, yes.
Which is probably the best one.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Love that. I love the Halo 2.
They showed the Battle Rifle as well in that.
I remember that.
They brought back the classic design for the Battle Rifle as well.
How do you feel about the new, I guess, gameplay mechanic of the grappling hook?
I went in thinking, oh, this is going to be awful. They're going to ruin the gameplay. It's going to be rubbish. And when I saw it, I was like, wow, this looks so fun.
You like it, use. Do you?
Yeah, I thought it looked really like it. Cool. The way you can grapple onto enemies, go charge towards them and smack them is really cool. One of the gameplay was Chief grappled onto a brute, then he stuck a grenade onto him and he exploded, and that was really cool. And another part is he grappled onto a fusion coil, which is like a bomb, essentially. And he throwed it at a turret. I was like, wow, that looks so cool.
I disagree, see. I don't think...
I changed my mind with the grappling hook. I really enjoy it. What don't you like about it?
It's going kind of back to what you said before, in terms of I don't... like the whole point of a grappling hook is to, you know, maneuver yourself around the world. You know, get to places which you can't easily access. And, you know, like you said, you can do that with a jetpack, which they have in the original game.
However, they showed that they also used the grappling hook for other things, like grappling onto enemies and grappling onto items to throw.
I mean, it definitely does, you know, add a new sort of...
Well,
add
a new
like combat mechanic.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So combat is going to be a lot more interesting. Mm. I think they actually show that with the Engie sword, so... It did look pretty cool when he was jumping and he grappled onto an enemy and then he...
But they also showed that in the original gameplay as well.
Yeah. So, it's interesting, but I mean, I'm not... I don't think I'll use it.
The thing that might give you a bit of comfort about the grappling hook is that, so what they're doing, they're bringing back... Remember Halo 3, where they had equipment rather than armor abilities? So they're bringing that back to Infinite, where you can pick up these items and use them. So the grappling hook isn't a permanent thing you will have all the time. It's something you will pick up throughout the game. Yeah. They also showed like a deployable cover. I don't know if you remember that at all.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
So that was pretty cool. And that's something that you will just pick up throughout the game. Yeah, exactly. So the grappling hook won't be something you will have on you at all times.
No.
So I'm hoping that might bring a bit of comfort to you.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
And now that implies to the multiplayer as well. So if there is a grappling hook, it would either not be in the game at all, or it'll be placed on the map somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes more sense. It's going the Halo Reach kind of route, you know, where you can change abilities or equipment, like you said, with Halo 3 and that.
Because if they just had grappling hook all the time, I feel like it would just be chaos on multiplayer.
Yeah,
everyone's slowing down for grappling hook. That'd be mental.
I personally like. How do you feel? Okay, how do you feel about the main villain? I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name. So the thing I have with
him, he was bald and had a goatee.
There's that.
Walter White. He was the Walter White.
Oh God! I mean, that'd be interesting. So I didn't hate his speech. I don't mind the character, because basically what I got from him was that he was able to take on humanity with ease, and now he's just bored and tired because there hasn't been a challenge for him.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anyone to stand up to him to take him on. And now the chief is coming along, and he's basically just, he's like this child who's like been swinging like sweets in front of their eyes. They're just really hyped and excited. They're like, wow, a challenger, finally.
Wow, we finally even got chief fight. So his name is...
Go on, what's his name?
Sorry, his name is... I just looked it up now. His name is War Chief Escarum?
Escarum.
Escarum. Okay. Which is an interesting name and a bit of a mouthful, I'm honest with you. That's what she said. but the villain's name... Yeah, he's one of the leaders of the Banished. What I liked about him is he referenced Atriox.
Yeah, so he's
is
not...
Is Atriox going to be in it?
Well... I'm not sure, because according to Halo Wars 2, maybe none of you listening will get this, but at the end of Halo Wars 2, Atriox was stuck on the Ark, which is like a maker of the Halo rings, and he was stuck on there with his army, and like all of it, like his main ship was destroyed, so he's kind of stuck there. But somehow, some of his army are on this ring. I'm not sure how. Maybe they'll explain that.
He's meant to be one of the war chiefs of Atriox, so they have
He's not the main boss, but he's like
I'm thinking he is going to be a villain for maybe half of the game, three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
And then I think Atriox will come in, and I think it kind of reminds me of like the, you know, Marvel universe. In each of the standalone films, they have these villains that, you know, are in that film specifically, but the overall
it builds
villain
up
is Thanos.
To that.
You know, so that's where I feel like it's going to be. Like,
yeah, but don't hold.
Where...
Yeah, but hold on. Remember, Aatrox isn't the main villain either. The main villain is Cortana.
I know, but this
at the end of Halo 5, if people don't know,
I don't want to talk about that.
If people don't know, Halo 5 made Cortana essentially the villain at the end of Halo 5. And I was assuming that's where it would pick up,
but it didn't. Because it's interesting, because the whole reason why Chief is here is to stop the Banished. So I don't know if you noticed at the start, because at the start he says, you know, we have to stop
the
Banished.
Well, we won't have a home if we don't take on the Banished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe they're planning on activating the ring.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just assumed that, maybe...
Where's Cortana?
I hope they haven't forgot about Cortana.
I know,
they've
just gone by Cortana.
See you later. I'm hoping they don't just skip her in this game and then come back to her after.
Yeah.
Because I assume this is meant to be Halo 6, remember? This is part of 343's trilogy.
Yeah.
So it would
hopefully
make no sense. Well, the thing is, I'm assuming maybe. What was his name again?
War Chief Escarum. German.
Exactly. Maybe he is. But I'm hoping that he isn't the main guy you fight all the time in Infinite. I'm hoping that he is one of many.
Yeah.
You know, for example, Halo 3, you had the Flood.
Mm.
You had the Covenant. The leader was like the Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And you also had
Sentinels.
The Sentinels at the end of the game.
One enemy I do not want to see anymore, because I just don't like them as an enemy, is the Forerunners, personally.
You don't want the Prometheans back?
I don't like them. I just don't like them. I don't like their style. I don't like their ship style. I just don't like it.
Here's the problem I have. I don't like them. But the thing is, I want them back only because it would make sense for the story. Like the continuity of their story that they're making. It would make no sense if they weren't there. But, Sorry, but hold on. The last title was called Halo 5 Guardians, so they must have explained it, right?
That's not relevant, is it?
Well, move on. I'm hoping these... The thing is, I want to see these enemies back because it would make sense for the story, but I don't want to see them because I don't like playing against them. They're just kind of boring.
Yeah. But, again, Cortana has to be relevant in this, and I don't know at the moment. I mean, we've only seen 8 minutes, to be fair.
I don't know how she's going to be relevant. It's hard for us to judge this because we've only seen so much. We've only seen 8 minutes of this. We have such little context about the story so far. So I'm hoping that they'll show off a bit more story, you know, a few more gameplay, and maybe a potential beta before the launch, you know.
But it does definitely seem a bit unrealistic that Chief would be like, okay, Cortana wants to destroy everything. Yeah. So let me put
that
on hold.
Well, Cortana doesn't want to destroy everything. Banish. She's basically taking she's just taking control of everyone. Like a dictator would.
Yeah. So it feels unrealistic that Chief would just be like, oh, right, I'll just put that on hold for a minute.
Yeah, banish are more important. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was just relevant to that little gameplay footage they showed. I think that's why they wanted him to save the banished, just because it suited the gameplay, perhaps.
And again, no lock.
No Agent Locke. Agent Locke was the main character of Halo 5, and we haven't seen or heard about him as of now. Maybe they'll talk about him more before the game launches.
I mean, to sort of wrap up Halo then, the gameplay, has it persuaded you to get the game, to not get the game?
Well, I think regardless if I liked it or didn't like it, I was going to get Halo anyway. I mean, I will always buy a Halo game just to see where they're taking the direction. But I'm not disheartened by this. Mm. I'm a bit more encouraged knowing that this was an earlier build. It's a shame that we didn't get to see a more up-to-date version of this. But I'm hoping that we will see that in the coming months. Yeah. I'm being optimistic, I think.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's good. I personally liked it. I think it was really good. I'm not taking into account graphics because I think that's a bit unfair.
Graphics can improve.
Yeah,
they can easily buff up the graphics.
If they don't improve the graphics, I will be upset.
I will be disappointed, but as long as the story and gameplay is good, then I won't mind as much. But it'll definitely stand out more, especially since it's new gen.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it felt. Like Halo to me. It did feel like Halo, personally, to me. You know, it felt... The enemies felt like the enemies from the original games.
Yeah.
Chief felt like Chief. It just... The being on a Halo ring felt, good.
Back to
it
form.
Felt good to be back. Yeah, it felt
because
good to
the thing
be
is, we haven't been on the Halo ring since Halo 3.
Exactly. And from what I've seen of that 8 minutes, I enjoyed it. Personally.
You're looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good game. It looks like they're going to go... in the right direction, besides the...
There are a few things a few things to improve on, but I'm feeling positive about it.
But definitely. And I mean, going back to, I don't think you feel as... It doesn't look like you feel as heavy in this game. It feels like you're more dynamic and can just, move about
more, I think,
personally.
They brought back the classic look with some modern gameplay. You know, they kept a few things. Sprint is staying. I don't know if you know much about the Halo community, but Sprint is there's such a 50-50 split with Sprint. Right. Either hate it or you love it, and there's no in between.
In this game, it makes sense.
It does.
Because of the open world.
Exactly. So you can't you can't have a brisk walk everywhere.
Yeah. This makes more sense.
But the thing I liked about the Sprint was that it wasn't too fast. Halo 5, the Sprint, I thought was too quick. I felt like as soon as you sprint, you were just charging people all the time. But this one, it seemed like quite a fast jog, even though we only saw moments of it.
It makes sense because they're Spartans. They're practically superhumans.
Exactly.
They shouldn't just be like, oh, I'm just going to chill out everywhere. Makes sense to have it. But overall, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I am as well.
The good thing is about every game that they showed, which I think is really good, strong point from Microsoft, is every game they showed is available on Xbox Game Pass from
that is such a huge
release,
bonus.
Which is fantastic, I think. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Such
accessibility.
And Microsoft are going to make Xbox Game Pass compulsory if you want to get online as well.
Okay.
So you can, essentially, if you want to play online,
it's like a bundle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's really good. So essentially, I'll pick it up on Game Pass.
Oh, definitely. You know, yeah. As soon as it comes out, Game Pass, brilliant.
Definitely, but I'm looking forward to it.
Same.
I think it's, you know,
I'm feeling more positive about it compared to when I initially saw it.
First watch.
Knowing more information about it, I'm a bit more excited now.
Definitely. So, we've got a few more games to go.
Well, were there any highlights that you want to talk about in particular?
The second one I sort of want to talk about, which has always been, you know, close to my heart, and, you know, I keep it going over it, I'm going to cry.
Try not to, please.
Fable. Mm. They announced Fable. So Microsoft took the wraps off a new entry in the Fable series, which is developed by Playground Games, known for the Forza Horizon games. Mm. I'm not sure if Playground Games actually... I think they did the older ones as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think that's sort of what happened. They sort of, you know, left Fable to focus on Horizon.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, like... They didn't really show much, you know.
It was just a cinematic
of an elf or a little fairy getting eaten by a frog. As soon as I saw the world and I saw Playground Games, I knew it was a Fable game.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's surprising to anyone, considering, you know, there was teasers and
Microsoft bought the rights. Yeah.
So I'm not surprised.
That's right.
There's not really much to talk about, if I'm honest with you, with it. They didn't show anything, they just announced it. So
yeah.
I don't think it's gonna be anytime soon.
No,
I think
unfortunately I think it might take a year or two.
Yeah, I think it'll be a long while before this. Well, it depends how long. You just don't know how long they've been
developing
it for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when did they buy the rights though?
They bought them, I think it was,
because that wasn't long ago.
It's gotta be couple of months ago. Must be a couple of months ago.
So I'm expecting this to be at least a year and a half.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I was a little bit disheartened by Fable 3, but Fable 2 is one of them games that will literally stay close to my heart forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of them games which I just played as a kid and I loved it. And
I'd be curious, now that they have the rights to it, maybe after this Fable game they'll make a Fable 2 remaster.
Don't tease me like that. That's not fair.
Well, you know, if Halo get remasters, why can't Fable 1 got a remaster?
Oh, I'd love I mean, they just call it Fable, so I'm guessing they are, you know,
it feels like a brand new beginning.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, they're just doing a brand new beginning, which,
well,
I liked
the look of the world, that they, even though it was just a cinematic, the world, the thing is, I didn't know the company that made Fable, but I could tell just by the world they showed. I was like, yeah, this looks like Fable. No, even prior, even like that little mushroom kingdom they had for the fairies. I was that looks like Fable.
I think that castle, I hope, is Albion. You know,
Albion
is the world of Fable, essentially. So it's, you know, like Skyrim is, you know, the world of Skyrim. Essentially, it's basically Albion is Fable's map or world.
So it's the castle plus like the outside.
Yeah, area. Pretty much everything.
That's the world. Okay.
And I just thinking about if they do put loads of which they are, because as everyone knows, a Fable game is, you know, is every fan loves it. And it's a big game.
Put
a lot of effort into this, it's going to be amazing.
Well, Fable was an open world game, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
It was so how big were the maps, out of curiosity, in the last games?
I mean, considering they were big, considering, I mean, I'm thinking of Fable 2 now, but they were big considering the power of the Xbox 360.
Wasn't Fable 2 the original Xbox?
No, that was Fable 1.
Oh.
Fable 2 was the Xbox 360.
Okay.
And I just love the world. I love the characters. I'm going to go play it. If it's backwards compatibility, I'm going to go play it. I think it's compatible.
Yeah, it is. I know it's on the Xbox Store, Fable 1 through 3, is there?
And I'm going to go play them because, Fable 2, it was just so good. And, I mean, yeah, like I said, they didn't really show much, but it's exciting that they're bringing this back. And
are there any things you're expecting? But any particular things within the Fable community that you'd be like, yeah, we expect this, we expect that?
The voiceover of Stephen Fry... is the same as now, what that was, has been in the other ones.
That was a lovely little detail they added, having Stephen Fry as the voice.
He was in it. He was the other ones.
Was he really?
He was the narrator for the other ones. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think he was a character, I believe. I think he did a character as well.
I hope he's a character in this.
I think he was. I can't remember exactly the characters, but I remember there was But
so do you think he'll be a recurring character in this?
I hope so. I mean, he'll definitely be like the narrator.
Imagine having Stephen Fry in your game. How amazing is your game if you have Stephen Fry in it?
Why do you think Fable
did so well?
Done so well. Yeah. You got Stephen Fry, and I heard his voice, and I was like, "This is
Fable. Yeah, yeah.
This is," and it felt, like I said, it felt nostalgic, and I was like, they're going sort of back to what it was.
Mm.
But in terms of characters, I can't really remember what happened in Fable 3, if I'm honest with you. But it's I don't think they interlink with each other. I think
it's all a continuing story.
I can't remember now. I gotta play him again. I gotta do it.
Yeah, you should.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. So then they obviously showed off Forza Motorsport, which I don't think is a surprise.
No, I mean, you expect a Forza with Xbox. That's just a given now.
It did look gorgeous.
Oh yeah. Thing is, the one thing that got to me this conference was there were too many glossy cinematics compared to actual gameplay, which is what they promised from the last conference. So I was a bit disappointed with that, if I'm honest with you.
Again, not much to really talk about there. We got Tetris Effect Connected.
Now, that was hilarious, seeing which this high-definition Tetris game. I was like, oh, great, they have Tetris. Okay.
I mean, fair enough, Xbox.
Tetris is good, Tetris is fun.
They've got Destiny 2 Beyond Light, which
I think that's just the latest DLC.
It's coming to Xbox Game Pass, they announced, which, again, I felt like, why would you announce that in a next-gen conference?
Well, they mentioned there were a couple of already released games. There was Outer Worlds, Destiny 2. Were there any others?
I'm going to go through them now. So the Outer Worlds was Peril on Gorgon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind DLC, but it's just I was expecting more new releases.
But again, I don't think these DLCs aren't exclusive to Xbox.
Destiny is a game you can get on PC and PlayStation.
Yeah.
And so is Outer Worlds.
So then you had that. You had the Outer Worlds one, like we said, the expansions. Had one called Tell Me Why, which is a new game from the Dontnod, which is the developer of Life is Strange.
I had Life is Strange vibes.
Where you basically play as twins exploring the memories of their childhood.
Okay.
I mean, Life is Strange is a very popular game. Everyone loves it. I personally haven't played it, but everyone says it's one of them games which is just an amazing story to it, you know?
Right.
So I have faith in them. I think they'll do, well with that one. It looks pretty interesting. Just a, Life is Strange one.
Yeah.
You've got Psychonauts 2. Which is quite
that was
one,
an interesting addition. I mean, I think a lot of original Xbox fans would be hyped for that. That came out for the original Xbox and hasn't been seen since.
Yeah. Which, was interesting, which is, again, sort of bringing it back.
Yep.
Dragon Quest 11. That took me a while to look at.
Yeah, I was hoping you were okay.
Reading the Roman numerals then, I was like, wait, what's that? So it's 11S, which is essentially definitive edition of the game, where you get all the expansions and stuff like that. But it was first released on Nintendo Switch last year, so it's coming to Xbox again. It's not Xbox exclusive because they're going to do it on PlayStation shortly.
I think they're mentioning just the fact they'll be on the Game Pass, and the PlayStation just won't have that ability to do that.
Yeah, we've got Stalker 2, which again is another big one, which everyone loved the original, didn't personally play it, but everyone seems to love that and is really hyped for that, which is, essentially a first-person shooter survival horror game.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, sounds about right.
You've got The Gunk.
I have no idea what that is.
A new adventure game from the makers of SteamWorld franchise. It's a third-person action-adventure game where you explore mysterious, gunk-filled planets. Yes!
That's what I've been dreaming of.
Who doesn't want to get stuck in gunk and play around in it?
I mean, great. I mean, I might get it. I don't know. We'll have to see.
And another one which I thought was really interesting was The Medium. I think that
first announced. It showed a bit of gameplay for that. It looks quite interesting.
Yeah, so it's the horror game from Blobber Team.
Weird names.
Yeah, which is behind the Blair Witch game that lets you explore a physical and spiritual world at the same time as protagonist Marianne. I have butchered names and words today. What is going on?
You got this.
We got a little bit of a look in it, and it looks pretty cool.
Looks alright.
Sort of.
I think there were a couple more. There were a few more. I think
there was Sable, which is a Fable. Sable.
What's going on?
A new open world adventure game from Raw Fury.
Hold
on. Come on.
Control. Just change one letter.
Control V. Then just change the F to an S.
Brilliant.
That's what they've done.
Yeah, that'll be perfect.
And then it was just Everwild.
Okay.
Which was the newest game from Rare. Mm-hmm. And it showed humans exploring a world filled with fantastical, colourful animals.
Brilliant.
And that was it.
Well, if I remember correctly, they showed snippets of State of Decay 3.
Oh, yes. Yes, they did.
And
yes.
They showed... Was it Warhammer?
Warhammer. Did they?
Yeah, I think there was a glossy cinematic for Warhammer, if I believe.
I mean, State of Decay. Yeah. I mean, I'll probably get it on Game Pass again. What I find amazing is all these games literally are on
Game Pass. It's just so easy to get. You don't have to worry about spending £60 to get one of these games. You just pay a subscription on Xbox and boom, you get all of them.
But overall, how do you feel the conference was?
It was better than the first one they released. Because that was
they
didn't show anything.
Much gameplay.
Time as well. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, there were a few games they showed gameplay of, but it's just I was expecting all of them to have gameplay, if I'm honest. So I was a bit disappointed with that. But all the games that I saw, I was interested in, so I didn't really mind. I saw the Halo, saw the Fable, I saw a couple of the indie titles were quite interesting. Yeah. I don't mind Destiny, so having the new DLC looked quite interesting, knowing that that's going to be on Game Pass instead of. Well, I don't know how it works. Will you be paying for the DLC, or will the DLC be free?
I assume it's free. That's the whole point.
So that,
Destiny 2 is free anyway.
Yeah, the thing is, that's a good point.
So
having the... Because usually the Destiny 2 DLC, they're very costly, unfortunately. That's how they've done it. So knowing that you'll have a DLC for free would be quite good.
Yeah. I know there's not really a, console war anymore. I think that's quite... it's not really a console war anymore. But in terms of the two conferences, which one do you think was better for you? Which one do you think stood
out
to you
more? I still think the PlayStation conference was better. They showed off what they promised to show off.
Yeah.
And the titles... And the thing is, I personally feel the exclusives the PlayStation have are kind of superior, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they had a variety of high-quality games.
Yeah, I mean, I think more stood out to me in the PlayStation 1. Mm. I'm not saying the Xbox one was bad, but a lot of people just didn't
I was expecting more, if I'm honest.
Yeah, the only ones I was sort of excited for are, Fable and Halo.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for me in terms of the Microsoft side.
Yeah.
It was okay.
It was better than the first one, but, I feel like if they do another one, maybe they can up the ante a bit.
Yeah. I guess we'll just wait and see now. Mm. They both have their perks, really. That's why there's not really a console war anymore. They both
People still believe there's a console war, but just grow up.
just grow
up. Console you like.
Everybody's gonna be so annoyed at you now.
Grow just up. Have fun. Just buy a console that have games you like on it and play it with your friends.
We should be united.
We should be taking on the real threat, which is PC. That's all we should be taking.
PC are just giggling. PC are laughing at the console wars, and Nintendo's just in the background. Just
going, he's doing his own thing, Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo's just, you know, in the background.
Keeping at his own pace, you know. Everyone likes Nintendo.
Console war, good luck.
Everyone likes Nintendo. You can't have a war with Nintendo.
Exactly.
But it's nice.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because hopefully now that they both sort of, you know, showed their cards, they're going to start to reveal more gameplay and state of plays and, you know, stuff like that. So hopefully, yeah, we'll see more.
Mm. Well, that's the news segment.
That's the news segment. Then.
And now, hold on, I have a new intro for this next segment.
Okay. Okay. Listen to it. Yeah.
Game of the week.
Okay. Game of the week. Interesting.
I'm gonna do it like an attempt of a manly voice.
Okay. I mean, you are a man, and
that's
you
a good
have
point.
A voice.
Well, so I guess an exaggerated,
I'm confused.
Gruff.
By voice. This, you mean a deeper voice?
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're officially calling it, right? Game of the week.
Exactly.
But with a game of the week.
Yeah. Thank like you. That. See, it works.
Okay. So this week, we're gonna again. There's so much to talk about with the Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh my god! Please say that again.
Ghost of Tsushima. Excellent. I didn't expect me to say that properly last time.
Yep.
So I've been playing through that, so I'm just going to, it's going to be, instead of, you know, dragging this out longer, I'll just talk about that rather than...
Yeah, so instead of Chris and I each talking about a game, we felt that Ghost of Tsushima should have like a bit of a highlight this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So please venture in.
There's so much to talk about with it. First of all, I'm going to talk about the story of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So the story is obviously, I'm not going to deep dive into it.
No, sure, you can
do
that.
Say how
time.
I feel about it. But you play as Jin. The Mongols are attacking. Jin is a samurai.
Okay.
The Mongols attack, and all the samurais basically get killed, or majority of them. They take over Tsushima, right?
Okay.
And your whole objective, pretty much the bottom line, is you try and get Tsushima back to its former glory, and you try and make it, you try and bring the samurais back and essentially drive the Mongols back out. So, I mean, in terms of story, I don't think it's too reinventive. It's been there, done that in a lot of games.
Okay.
But
it doesn't make it a bad story.
It's not a bad story, by any means. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, you know,
you wouldn't get this game for the story alone.
I don't think I'd get it for the story alone, personally. Like I said, it's the story for me was kind of just a background thing for me.
Like, was it? It was just like a revenge plot, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much just a revenge plot. Your uncle gets taken at the start, but then you free him at the start of the act. So again, you just, you know, the story was just okay.
I imagine you get this game for, you know, gameplay and visuals, surely.
Yeah. So then that goes on to I was going to go on to the characters then.
Yeah.
Characters are pretty unique. Jin seems pretty cool. Like I say, seems like a pretty stand up guy. He tries to help everyone he can.
Yep.
And you know, he's a samurai. He's very determined and dedicated and a great fighter.
Honourable.
If you don't stealth, because apparently if you stealth, that's dishonourable to the
is
samurai.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's meant to be dishonourable for samurais to not look someone in the eye when they kill them. And that's a fact.
Yeah, but like, if you don't stealth, everyone, you're going to have like 10v1 scenarios going on.
And the characters are okay. You have, you know, you meet a lot of people along the way. Again, the side stories are really good, because the side stories give you a sort of, main quest for that character. So it's like a side story, but it's, you know, it follows just that character. So it's good because you get to build it up, you know, the rapport and see what the character's like. And
yeah, sure.
I like that. It was good. You know, you get to, you know, really dive into the characters. The graphics, again, I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure everyone
it looks
has seen
really
it.
Good.
It's incredible. You know, I think it's a good game to finish off the PlayStation 4 or PlayStation exclusives graphics-wise before they go on to the next gen. I personally have never been a big fan of photo mode on games, but I do feel myself stopping and
you felt
thinking
you
I need to go
to.
In photo mode. Yeah, because it's just incredible. The sunsets, the wind, the grass, just everything was just incredible. It felt so fresh and polished. It was just an amazing game.
Okay.
You know, there's not really much to talk about with the graphics. I maybe think the facial animations could be a little bit better, but you know, I'm not too disheartened by that. It was, you know, it was still pretty good.
Okay.
I think it was, you know, I was just probably used to The Last of Us, which is a bit unfair because I think, you know.
Well, it's hard to not compare, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to go from The Last of Us to this game. If I'm honest with you, it's a hard, you know, it's hard to sort of switch over. But
sure.
In terms of in terms of gameplay, then I think the combat is extremely fun. You know, you feel like a samurai when you're in combat. You feel like, you know, if you take on, you know, 10 or so enemies, there's different ways that you can kill them or parry or block. You know, you have different stances. So if you come across a guy with a shield, you go into a wind stance, I believe.
Okay.
Which is more effective against people with shields.
That's pretty good. That's pretty in detail.
Yeah, so then vice versa for spearmen and brutes. So you have different stances to deal with different sort of enemy types.
Hold on.
You know,
which is brutes, as in Craig.
I saw you smiling then. I was like, what have I said? Have I said something? So, you know, it's good that you have, you know, it's not just boring where you're just mashing a button. You have to think, oh, I got to change my stance. Or,
sure.
I got to, you know, handle this that way. So combat's really fun. You know,
keeps you on your toes.
Keeps you on your toes. I do think it's really hard, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
A lot of people think the game's easy. I personally think it's quite a hard game.
Okay.
I don't think it's, especially when you get overwhelmed by a lot of enemies, you feel overwhelmed. And
okay.
Yeah, it's you know, it is quite hard. A lot of people say it's easy, but I just like how
well, are there difficulty settings?
There are difficulty
maybe
settings.
Playing
maybe
they're playing
on the easy and they're
setting.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm on
it's
hard,
so easy.
But I'm not, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what difficulty do you go on?
I go on medium.
Yeah, that's
I
probably the best
go
way
on
to
medium.
Go, isn't it?
But the, you know, the stealth aspect is pretty fun. I mean, personally, I didn't really use it that much because
it was unhonorable.
It's unhonorable. I didn't feel like I was getting honor for it. I just felt more sort of gain from combat, like
just going out and attacking people.
Because you can go in and stand off against enemies. You can kill a couple of, like, you stand off against them and hold your sword.
Right.
And you've got to, like, sort of stand off with, say, one or two enemies.
Okay.
And you've got to time your sword swing just right to kill them in one hit. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So I just felt, I don't know, I felt more like a samurai doing it that way. The stealth just felt, you know, just like stealth. I mean,
so there wasn't anything special about stealth?
Not really. I mean, you do get, you know, specific tools which are pretty cool, like wind chimes which you can distract your enemy with.
Oh yeah, okay. So you can use the environment to help out.
And you know, you've got the grass, you know, the standard grass.
Sure.
You just hide in the grass to hide from enemies. But it just felt, I don't know, it just felt like combat was more fun for me.
What are your opinions on the AI? Because I heard that the AI was quite
pretty
bad.
They're pretty dumb. I mean, they're pretty dumb. They'll look at you and, you know, sort of do a Skyrim and be like, oh,
must have been
must
the,
have
wind.
The wind. Must have been the wind. As they're looking directly at you, like, oh, must have been the wind.
You're just standing there with blood on your sword. It's like, must have been the wind. And turns around.
Yeah, oh, that was the wind.
Maybe that's his excuse, because he knows he'll die. He knows you're there. He's just pretending.
I mean, they're not that bad, but they're pretty bad, I guess, in terms of stealth standards. Which then brings me on sort of to the last point, which is the world. The world, again, is fantastic.
Okay.
The graphics are amazing. I never felt like I was running out of things to do. There's always, like, so much to explore, so many side quests to do, so many little sort of outposts which you've got to liberate. And,
right.
Fox dens you've got to find. And, you know what I mean? There's just so much to do in it.
There's so much to explore.
I didn't feel like I was scared. It was scarce, or I felt bored in the world at all. You know, it's a fun world to be in.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just gorgeous, and the way it plays, I really like it.
The thing is with a game, if I really enjoy how the world looks, I would just like take my time and just walk through it.
So I don't fast travel pretty much anywhere in this game. I'll always ride my horse everywhere because it's just I just love the world so much. And you come across things which you wouldn't do if you were fast traveling. You know, you come across little caves or caverns or fox dens or
Are there like items you can collect, or is it just
So you have, like, in terms of how your character goes, you can change how your sword looks in terms of the sheath. Is it the sheath where you hold a sword?
Yeah, I think that's something like that.
The holster for a sword.
Yeah, sure.
You can change the way that looks. Okay. You can change the armor you have, which have various different benefits. So you have like a traveler's attire, which because you have like fog of war on the map. So you have to run to the area to reveal it on the map, if that sort of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you like a 30% more reveal state.
Reveal state.
Area. I'm not good with words today, am I?
This is an off morning for you.
This is an off morning.
You'll be fine.
But, you know, you have different hats, different masks. The customization feels really cool. You can change the colors of them. And, yeah, overall, it's a very fun game, and I enjoyed it. I see what he's like, what's your official Game Junkies review?
Yes, got it. What is the official Game Junkies rating?
First of all, though, I want to say that I don't think it's a contender for Game of the Year for me.
No?
A lot of people are saying that it could be a Game of the Year for them. But as much as I loved the game, I don't think it's done anything too reinventive. It's just an open world samurai game, which I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not, you know, compared to Final
Doesn't
Fantasy
stand
VII
out
and
the last of
us, it just hasn't stood out. Yeah,
right.
Interesting. But in terms of my official Game Junkies review,
yes,
maybe I'm being too harsh. I don't know.
Oh,
but in terms of what I'm going to say, I'm going to say a 7 out of 10.
Gasp!
Yeah.
A 7 out of 10?
A 7 out of 10, yeah. I don't know if that's too harsh. I think it's...
You have to remember, a 7 out of 10 is good.
It is good, yeah.
Just not
personal
great.
Opinion. Yeah, whoever disagrees with me can just, you know, leave.
Find you.
Yeah, find me and hunt me down. So that's the official Game Junkie review, so you've got to, you know, honour that. You've got to, you know...
Yeah, if we say it's 7 out of 10, it's 7 out of 10.
It's 7 out of 10.
And
yeah,
that's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah.
You're gonna have to get used to it. I'm sorry.
Accept it and move on.
I can move on.
So I guess we're on to the next. Do you have an intro to this? Do you have?
It was basically the exact same intro as the game of the week.
We gotta think of a new
trivia round.
We gotta think of a new intro, man.
I'm just trying to think of a placeholder.
When you said intro, I thought, okay, he's gonna show off some music now.
I was like, no,
and then
I'm
just
gonna
do a deep voice. I was like, okay,
oh, okay,
this is, okay, fair enough. It's like I wasn't expecting that. I was a bit scared.
We just need something to break it up. Okay, so this week I'm in charge of the quotes, and it is this week's Chris's turn this week to guess which game it came from. How are you feeling?
I feel relaxed. I have had my breakfast this morning.
Wow. That's a feat, isn't it?
Coffee. So I feel like I am very aware, and I know I feel confident.
Well, the highest score you've received is 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And the highest score I've received is 4.5 out of 5. That was last week.
We're not comparing, so that's making
to, because I have the highest score. So
right,
that's... Compare.
That's unfair. That's unfair.
We'll see.
Well,
you might get 5 out of 5.
I'm getting 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Here's number one. Get over here.
Oh, that's Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I thought I'd start off with a... The thing is, I wanted to say it with a bit of aggression. If I said it a bit too calmly, maybe you'd be a bit more confused.
Yeah. Because get over here, dude. Just get over here. In your own time. Don't rush.
No pressure.
Yeah, no rush. So,
right, well, that's one.
Okay.
Bring me a bucket and I'll show you a bucket.
I recognize
now,
it kind of.
You should
of.
Know this.
I recognize it kind of.
If you need a
clue.
I'm
going to need a hint, though.
I'll give you one clue. It's an FPS.
Right.
So,
that's
it.
Might...
Well, no, I've got another clue. I've got another clue.
Go on,
but
go
I was
on.
Hoping that maybe that might jog.
No,
some
I knew. I definitely knew it was an FPS, but I just can't remember. Which
well,
one.
I've got the developer of the game, but I feel like you'll get this as soon as I mention it. Gearbox Software.
Oh, Borderlands.
Which one?
Bring me a Oh, that could be any one of them.
If you don't get this right, you only get half a mark, remember.
Two.
Yes.
Yes.
Got it.
What is it from?
Psycho.
I remember it.
Oh, the character Psycho says it.
Oh, I love Borderlands.
I was expecting you to get that straight away. I am surprised.
I recognize
you needed two clues.
Yeah, I recognize
okay.
the bridge. Okay.
Well, 2 out of 5 so far. Okay, next one. It's easy to forget what a sin is in the middle of a battlefield.
Ooh. I mean, yeah, to get...
So the first clue I'll give you is it's a PlayStation 1 game.
What was it? The quote again?
It's easy to forget what a sin is in the middle of a battlefield.
PlayStation 1 game.
PlayStation 1 game.
Gonna need another hint. This is
You're getting two clues so far.
I know. Alright, I'll be generous.
I mean, you were only giving me one clue.
So I mean, one of the quotes I gave you last week was already said. So
that's a good point. That's a fair point. Okay, it's a stealth game. So it's a stealth game. It's a PlayStation 1 game.
Bearing in mind, when I was on when I was playing PlayStation 1, I was like 5. So I wasn't playing those stealth games.
Well, you should have prepared then. You should have known by the age of 5, you know what, I'm going to be on the Game Junkies podcast doing this trivia round. I better remember the games.
Did you say it's purely a stealth game or it has stealth aspects?
It's a stealth game.
Splinter Cell?
No. It is Metal Gear Solid.
That's what I was going to say. That's not a pure stealth game.
Yes, it is. It is a stealth game.
No, it's not.
Of course it's a stealth game.
It's not a pure stealth
game. Yes,
it is. That threw me off. That was a bad hint.
That is not a bad hint. It is a stealth game. It is classed. I checked online. It is classified as a stealth game.
Oh, that was
so you can't judge the producers of the game when they name it stealth.
That was unfair.
Well, that's your problem. You're meant to be the game expert here.
All right.
Okay, well, you still got 2 out of 5 and you have 2 more left. So far, I win in terms of points, so I'm very happy about this. Let's see if you can stay the same as your 4 out of 5 last time. Okay, next
consistency.
One.
Consistency.
Exactly. Do a barrel roll.
Oh, that's Star Fox? Is it Star Fox?
Star Fox...
64?
Yes.
Okay, nice.
The thing is with this one, I was going to think you knew the game, you just didn't remember the name of the game.
I can picture it. Do barrel roll. You know that, like,
that's
me,
right.
Do barrel roll. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, I thought that would stump you a bit. Well done.
Nope.
Okay, last one. Science isn't about why, it's about why not.
That sounds like a quote from Winston Churchill or something from Everyday World. I don't...
Come on! Okay, fine. Do you want a clue?
Yes, please.
It's a puzzle and a platformer.
Is it an exclusive... to any console?
No.
You're shaking your head like that. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You don't have a clue, do you? What was the quote again?
Science isn't about why, it's about why not.
It's a platformer.
It's a puzzle platformer.
Portal?
Which one?
2?
Yes.
Oh,
you got
nice.
It was
nice.
From specifically Cave Johnson.
Nice. From Portal 2. I don't think that game is on PlayStation, is it? Or Xbox?
I'm not sure. I think it was a pure PC game. But the other clue I was going to say was Valve, and I was like, yeah, you probably get it.
Oh, yeah, that one I'd probably get, yeah.
Well, you got 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
On the trivia round.
If you're not first, you're last. So
exactly.
I'm last.
Yeah, you are last. You're going to have to... You're gonna have to get 5 out of 5 on one of these.
I could have had a I was gonna say Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, you almost had it.
Oh,
but you know,
well, at least I'm consistent. I think that's
consistency
the point.
Is key.
It's all about
you'll get
personal
eventually.
Gain, right?
Yeah.
Personal growth.
I mean, if you want to be like that, you didn't technically grow since the last one. Since it's the same score.
I grew.
I got you, didn't I? I got you.
You kind of got me there.
Yeah, unlucky, mate.
So wait till next week. I'm going to get some good ones.
I think I'm going to get like a 2 out of 5 next time.
Yeah.
Probably.
So I guess that wraps it up for this show. Thank you for listening to the podcast, everyone. We have a Patreon page, so if you like to support us and what we do, we'd be greatly appreciated. You can also check us out on Twitter, which is Game Junkies OG. So you can follow us, any latest tweets or if you care about what we're doing.
Of course they care.
On Patreon, we'll have exclusive stuff on it. So yeah, find out more information on patreon.com/gamejunkies. Until then, I guess we'll see you next week.
See you next week.